Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I had to make sure to light the candles at the beginning of Mass so you remember me for something. And for Father to write something on my eval. I need something to work on, you know, during the seminary year. But it's good to be with you. A week ago, I wasn't a deacon, or I was ordained a deacon. 2 weeks ago was the last time I was here. I was sitting like a wall ornament or a statue in the corner. And so it's so good to be with you. I'm your deacon now. And I'm happy. I need to retrace for you a little bit of what we've lived the last almost 5 months since I've arrived. I arrived April 4th, Holy Thursday. It was empty. It's depressing. It was weird. And so we had Mass, the Triduum. It was something quite unique. April 30th, state reopens. May 9th, first public weekend Masses again. June 9th, I finish my 19th year of school and finally graduate with a degree. June 28th, Monsignor Schumacher, Father Dosh, leave the parish. And June 29th, we get our new pastor, Father Shea. August 4th, Father Shea is installed pastor. And August 15th, the Feast of the Assumption, I'm ordained a deacon. And through all of this, I don't think we often realize how much change we've underwent over these last 4 months. But something that has remained steady for me during all of this, are you faithful people? The faithful of St. Wenceslaus coming back to Mass, showing their desire for the sacraments for Jesus, has been very touching for me. I've often looked out from my corner, simply admiring all of you. And so your faithfulness has made me more faithful, that you've really helped to form the heart of a new deacon and future priest. And that's a great gift. And so I thank all of you again for being so good to me and being faithful. And now a few words about the gospel. So when I was in seminary about 5 years ago, I remember reading this, praying this. We pray a holy hour every day. And so I'm praying over this gospel passage, and I remember getting so excited to be able to preach about these words, right, that come from the mouth of Peter: you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now I'm here. It feels like it shouldn't have been that fast, but these words never get old. They're always new. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ. So 3 points. Number one, this is our profession of faith. This is our profession of faith. Christ, the Son of the living God, is both the beginning and the very goal of our Christian life, right? The Alpha and the Omega. That it's the goal of our whole Christian life. And so we start to proclaim Christ as God at our baptism. We are able to profess him at our baptism, that it's only the Father who allows us to profess this, as Jesus says to Peter. And so, without being able to say, to believe, that Christ is the Son of God, we can make no progress towards heaven, towards our next life. And at the same time, he is our goal. That the fullness of our life, really, when we come to the end of our life, I simply hope and I pray that all of you can simply proclaim Christ as the Son of God. It's the goal. He's our Savior. He's the fulfillment of all of our desire. He's everything we need in life. And he's the epicenter of our faith. What else do we need but Jesus Christ, who's our friend? He's our friend. And so, my second point in this, which we see in the gospel, might slip by you, but Peter, of course, he professes it alone, right? He responds to Christ alone, but he's with the disciples. So faith, this profession that we make, is both personal, but communal as well. It's a personal faith because it's a relationship between God and yourself, right? A relationship between Jesus Christ and yourself, where you grow closer to God, where he opens you up to his grace. He gives you more faith, hope, and charity, as we have in the front. He transforms our hearts to become like his. And yet, it's a communal faith, right? That we're reminded every time we profess the creed that we're believers together. We believe together, and we're not alone. We're never alone. And so over these last 4 months, the lie that we are alone, that we're isolated, is so powerful. And yet it's so not true, right? That Jesus Christ came to be with us, to become one of us. And so we believe that not only are we a community of faith, but Christ is always with us. And so when that lie enters our mind, that I'm alone, we can reject that. And we can profess our faith once again in Jesus. And a help to that is something Pope Benedict XVI said. He wrote in a book for priests. And he said this: the first job of a priest isn't to celebrate the sacraments, but the first job of the priest is to be a believer. He's to be a believer with us. That I was just ordained a week ago. Father's been ordained for you. We're here for you, to help your belief and your faith, that we want you to grow in that. And when you need something, when you need us, we're there for you to simply be believers with you, to know that you're never alone. And so, the last point, you say, yeah, Deacon Nick, this is really nice, but how do you do that? Well, I think the first place we need to start is prayer. And it doesn't get old. Prayer never gets old. And we keep going. And so my little story for this is my Uncle Andy. He has Down syndrome. And we'd go stay with him in the summer at my grandma and grandpa's place. And I remember as a little boy, not knowing what prayer is, thinking it's just some idea in my mind. Jesus is a mist out there that I have to like find or something. He's hiding from me. And my Uncle Andy made it real, because every night he'd stay up way too late and he would talk to Jesus. He would talk to Jesus about what happened during his day, about his dad or his brothers, or his mom, or cleaning the barn. But he said, he would say so innocently, Jesus, tell Dad to quit doing that. Jesus, that I really like the Vikings. They need to win more. Whatever it is in our heart where we need the love and mercy of God, we bring that to him. We bring our whole life. We bring our whole being to Christ every day in prayer. And he will strengthen our faith. He won't let you fail. He will strengthen your faith. And so as we come up for communion, we beg for the grace, for this deeper faith, a living faith, to be able to profess Christ as the Son of God. Amen.